Open your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter number 14. Romans 14. Every once in a while, it's good to go back. It's good to review. It's good to refresh. It's good to look at the basics. Some of you might say, oh, I've got this. I understand everything about this topic. If that's true, I must be in heaven. And we know that's not true. So the book of Romans is written to a famous, amazing church where their faith was known abroad through all the earth. And this was not a church that had the incredible issues like the Corinthian church had. And the Apostle Paul is used by God to write and document for us some of the most incredible truths about salvation, sanctification, glorification, etc. And chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16 are some of the most practical teachings we can see. Romans chapter 14, this is not going to be exclusive or exhaustive. I think it would be good for us to look at this overall so we can get a good lay of the land regarding this particular issue or topic. Romans 14, 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. That's a big word, isn't it? For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another, who is weak, eateth herbs. All right, so we're looking at an immature believer, someone who's newly saved, or someone who's been saved for years, and they don't have a clue. Someone who's been in church, but maybe not a Bible preaching church. Maybe they've been a cultural Christian, raised in a Christian home, etc., etc., etc. But some point in their life, yay back there on the back row, they make a decision for Christ and they say to their professor at Bible college, I need to get this thing nailed down. Because I said a prayer when I was a kid, I didn't even know what I was doing, what I was saying, but I want to make sure that I'm right with God. That's not this person. Or they're weak in the faith. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. What are we talking about? Herbs, no herbs. You're a vegan, you're not a vegan. You're a meat eater, you're not a meat eater. We're talking about spiritual things that are not necessarily spiritual things, but to some people, they are spiritual things because they're new in the faith, they're young in the faith, they don't necessarily have the knowledge that they ought to, they're not studying the Word of God, etc. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Okay, very simple. Herb eaters, non-herb eaters. Vegetarians, non-vegetarians. And we in the church will pick any issue. Diapers, no diapers. Breastfeeding, not breastfeeding. And it continues. Ties, no ties. Doilies on the head, no doilies on the head. Skirts, no skirts. White shirts, not white shirts. And it continues. Depending upon what generation you're in, all of these things can be disputed by believers. Verse 5. One man, so we're going to get away from the herbs, one man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Meaning, I only meet God on Sundays. And then we have other people, I only meet God on Saturdays. Seventh-day Adventist. So we have people that are now, instead of saying to God, this is the day that the Lord hath made, let us rejoice and be glad in it, we're only going to be godly on one day. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now that's a great verse. That's a great sentence. You could and should pluck that out and stick that on the top of your forehead. Because at the end of the day, we're going to talk about the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to be held accountable for what God has revealed to you. Because we're all in different stages. We're all running this race. We're all on a spiritual journey. And we're all in different lanes. Okay? Verse 6. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, herbs, not herbs, to the Lord he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Now that's not my sermon, but I wish it were. That's pretty powerful, right? For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. That's good news, right? You should be able to put your head on the pillow each night and say, to God be the glory. Whether I live or die, I'm the Lord's. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now pause for a minute. This is not a sermon on judgment. Again, it could be, should be. Maybe that's for another time. But we're going to look at liberty in Christ. And we tend to put levels of importance on certain things and not necessarily on others. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. We can go to Philippians chapter 2 and other places. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So in the midst of this teaching on liberty in Christ and the doctrine of liberty and freedom, the Apostle Paul and the Holy Spirit pluck right there in that passage of Scripture, the judgment seat of Christ. Huh. Remember the telephone pole in my eye and the toothpick in your eye? We need to remember that. Verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. The rest of the chapter kind of talks about that, and we'll get there. But you know what I've noticed? It's almost been 40 years since I've come to Christ. I've noticed that usually at the most inopportune moment, and usually with the most inopportune person, God puts us in a place where we just don't want to. Not now, not with them. Because we want to pick the person and a set of circumstances that we should die to ourselves for. Right? I mean, we want recognition. We want to be noticed. We want the church to know the sacrifice that we just made for God. As opposed to that person now but nobody's around to see it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We don't want to be a stumbling block. So we want to try to be spiritual. We want to try to be mature. We want to try to be godly. We don't always pass the test, do we? We don't always. And usually it's in our home that we fail. The other thing I've noticed, it's usually in front of kids that we fail. Third, it's usually in front of our church that we fail. And somewhere along that line, it's usually before the world that we fail. Look, I don't like this message any more than you do. So trust me. I had no idea what I was going to preach on tonight until a couple hours ago. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. The Apostle Paul, ex-Pharisee, ex-Jewish scholar, who knows all the law and knows all the good and the bad and the unclean and the clean and all that stuff, he says, I know that there's nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Now, the Apostle Paul got saved out of the law. The Apostle Paul received divine revelation from God. The Apostle Paul spent 3 years in the desert with the Lord, trying to reconcile and justify and learn, relearn the entire Old Testament in light of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, so that God could give him, show him, understanding of the law versus grace like nobody's business. Right? But, verse 15, if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, if thy brother be grieved with thy music, if thy brother be grieved with your clothing, if thy brother be grieved with, you fill in the blank. Now walkest thou not charitably? Well, how do I know if somebody's not going to like my music, my dress, my eating, my habits, my this, my that? How do I know? Destroy not him with thy meat, thy music, thy clothes, thy liberty, for whom Christ died. Well, I'm mature. I grew up. I got out of that thing. I'm not held in bondage by that anymore, for goodness sakes. I used to be a child in the Lord, but now I'm old in the Lord. I'm mature in the Lord. I can do these things now. So there. Verse 16. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Now the kingdom of heaven is. Because the kingdom of heaven is a physical kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is a Jewish kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is all about image. It's all about standards. But the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. But the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I don't know about you, that's hard. Isn't that hard? Or am I just the only person who has trouble with this? That's hard. For he that in these things serveth Christ, not the church, not the brethren, not your expectations, but if we serve Christ is acceptable to God. And if it's acceptable to God, then it's approved of men. So the approval of God should be first And if God approves of it, then it shouldn't be that hard for men to approve of it. Right? How do I know if my music or my clothes or my this or my that, the way I eat, the way I don't eat, the way I treat my kids, how do I know? Well, if it's approved of God, because your heart, if it's approved of God, then it's approved of men. Let us, therefore, I love the let us. We looked at that this morning in the chapter just before. Let us, therefore, follow after the things which make for peace. What in the church makes for division? Well, there goes my whole sermon. Let us therefore follow after the things which make peace. And things wherewith one may edify another. So therefore, I should look out for the brethren before I consider myself. Right? For meat, destroy not the work of God. You know I'm just going to go off on this, right? We shouldn't destroy the work of God for any of our preferences. What do I prefer? I prefer a certain rhythm. I prefer a certain beat. I prefer a certain style of music. Is that what God wants? Or is that what you want? Well, I'm an expert on music. Oh, really? Tell me all about it. How many books have you read on biblical music, on hymnology, on what the Bible teaches about the world, the flesh, and the devil, about the body, soul, and spirit? What do you know about what the world teaches about worship, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Well, I'm an expert. I listen to all the contemporary music. Well, you might be expert in that. For meat destroy not the work of God. Well, I'm an expert on how to raise children. I'm an expert on this. I'm an expert on that. Well, if the work of God is going to be destroyed by your pride, by your arrogance, by your preferences, then maybe we should be more careful about being an expert on everything for everyone. All things, verse 20, indeed are pure. But it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. In other words, I know it bugs you. I know you're against it. But I'm going to do it anyway. Because I can. Because I have liberty in Christ. Right? I'm not an herb eater, but you are. So I'm going to eat a hamburger right in front of your face and say, look at that, I got liberty in Christ. Isn't that what this is saying? We tend to be so self-consumed that we're not paying attention. We're not listening. We're not sensitive, perhaps, to the spiritual age or maturity level of the person that we might be offending. Now, if we do it unknowingly, until we know. And then when we know, because we're told by that person, you offend me. Well, why? You're eating a hamburger. Okay, then what do you eat? I'm a vegetarian. Fine. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil. It is evil for that man or woman who eateth with offense. In other words, you're doing it on purpose. So then your motive isn't pure, right? Your motive isn't pure. Verse 21. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Okay, then what do I do? You need to be sensitive. You need to be mature. You need to be aware. Verse 22. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. I have faith. I'm not under the law. I'm not a legalist that says I have to do this in order to be spiritual. I don't have to do that in order to be spiritual. Well, have faith toward God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. Happy is that is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. Okay, that gives me liberty to do whatever I want, right? Verse 23. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. I wish that wasn't there either. Exactly. For whatsoever is not of faith is... Now I've had it. I can't go any further. Get that verse out of the Bible. For whatsoever is not of faith is what? I don't know if there's a worse verse in all the scriptures. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. What did you do today that wasn't of faith? Here's my list. Okay, so what do we do? Where do we go? What's the purpose of this chapter? Well, in the context of liberty in Christ, there's a ton of material, but there's a ton of material on the liberty in Christ, depending upon which Bible you read. Again, because Bibles are readable or accurate. That's it. There's no difference. That's it. What denomination you're from? Liberty in Christ, because there are some denominations that tend to the right side, that tend to the left side, that don't teach what the Bible teaches, that wants you to be more legalistic, that wants you to be more of the law in order to prove that you're saved. And you prove that in James chapter 2 by your outward appearance, by your works, by your conformity, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's the other side of the denominations that say, oh, I got grace, I got liberty, I'm good. Therefore, I can do whatever I want. Therefore, I can, and you name the sin. I can gamble, I can drink, I can do this, I can do that. And God is good because I can pray and the blood of Christ will save me. And therefore, I'm under grace. So I have liberty to sin. No, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Well, how do we square that? How do we figure this out then? Well, we can't violate the truth of the Word of God by an untruth of the Word of God. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Here's an example of liberty in Christ. And how Paul deals with this liberty in Christ regarding another church. 1 Corinthians 8. And again, I love how the Holy Spirit and the Apostle Paul uses the thing that we enjoy the most. And nobody's really going to be offended if you preach on food. Because everybody can relate. Don't preach on smoking, don't preach on drinking, gambling, anything like that. Don't preach on my pet sins. But you can preach on food, because you can make fun of yourself on food all you want. 1 Corinthians 8, starting in verse 1. Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have, what? Knowledge. Again, this is not a complete exhaustive thing on this particular chapter. But we're basically saying that the church in Corinth that was so inundated with gods and pagan gods, etc., etc., etc. So if you were lost, you were inundated with temples and this and that and myths and so forth. But if you're saved, you need to have enough knowledge in order to acknowledge that you needed to be saved out of this idolatry mess. But it says here, be careful, be warned, that knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. So if you're OCD, or if you're obsessive compulsive, if you're focused on a particular area of your sin or of your salvation, and you're a Bible brainiac, and you're going to dig and understand all that stuff, and your knowledge of the Word of God or this particular liberty that you might have might become a stumbling block to others. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. That doesn't mean you be ignorant. The Bible doesn't say that anywhere. However, it's your attitude about your knowledge. One of the most knowledgeable men in the United States is one of the most humble men that I know. Now, I've never met him personally, but I've listened to him speak so many times. I've read so much of what he writes. How could somebody who's so smart be so humble? That's his way. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. So we're finite in this ability, in our gifts, in what God allows us to know and to experience and to do. There's more. There's additional. In other words, when you stop learning, you stop growing. Now, for some of us, we stopped learning when we left high school, because we consciously made that choice. I mean, learning maybe in a formal way. Of course, we're all learning, life learning, raising children, etc. I get that. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. That's one of my memory verses, one of my favorite verses, that if we love God, God knows. If we love God, our children know. If we love God, the church knows. If we love God, our family knows. If we love God, our neighbors know. That's what it says. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols. So someone is going to live in Corinth, and there are these, we'll just call them butcher shops, and people are bringing these particular animals, and they're getting these animals prepared for pagan worship. After the pagan worship, depending upon what idol it is, I'm not exactly sure, but after those pieces of meat, those offerings are now sold to the public. Kind of like, similar but in a different way, when the scribes and Pharisees would buy their sacrifices in the temple. They would pay money, and they'd buy their sacrifices and then offer them to Jehovah. The pagans would get sacrifices and offerings and barter for that particular thing. And when that particular meat was offered to the idol, if it was consumed, then obviously it was done. But if it wasn't consumed, if it was a wave offering or something, whatever the pagans do, then that piece of sacrifice might be available on the market to buy. Now, if you're a Christian, that meat offered to idols doesn't change the meat. It's still a ribeye or whatever it is. It's still a piece of meat, and you can still get a good bargain at the pagan meat market. We go there all the time, right? We call it Wegmans, Tops, Aldi. Wherever we go to shop, it's the pagan meat market. Because it's not a Jewish meat market. It's not a Christian meat. What's a Christian meat market? I don't know. So these Christians, some that would worship at those idols and had a history, had experience of bringing their offerings or buying their offerings and taking them to the pagan idols, they would know firsthand. This is what they did, and they got saved out of that. So they're going to have a problem maybe with buying meat that was offered unto the idols that now they don't go to because they're saved. Then there are other people that have no idea what you're talking about because they never did that. Kind of like a contemporary Christian today. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things, verse 4, that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. As believers, we know that. We believe that. We're putting our faith and trust in heaven on that. Verse 5, for though there be that are called gods, small g, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, capital G, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Now, there's no way I can explain that probably in a year, that verse. But it's basically talking about the wonder, the omniscience, the sovereignty of God the Father, God the Son. How be it? Verse 7. There is not in every man that knowledge. So in every Christian that gets saved, they might not know, they might not understand the sovereignty of God, the wonder of God, the omniscience of God, the omnipresence, all of the attributes of God, they might not know because they're so new in the Lord. Howbeit, there's not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol. Like I said, if you went to Applebee's or you went to your local bar, you went to your rib place or your wing place, and there you spend all of your money on booze or gambling or whatever, and you become a Christian, you might have a hard time going back to that place because of the memory, the association. That's where you sinned. You see what I'm saying? Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, but their conscience being weak is defiled. Their conscience says, don't do that. But you have liberty in Christ. You can walk right through that front door, sit down at Applebee's, ignore the bar, have whatever you want to eat, have your Coke or your Pepsi, walk out, and everything's good. But another Christian, to them to walk into Applebee's would be a disaster. Why? Because of their background, because of their history, because they haven't gotten peace with God in their conscience to go there yet. That doesn't mean they can't. I knew a guy who had to put down his baseball bat. Why? Because he was a professional ball player. That was his God. So when he got saved, he put his bat down. He put his glove away. Oh, you're kidding me. No, I'm not kidding. For years, he didn't play. He didn't play baseball. But then he had a son. His son grew up. And at some point, I don't know how many years it was, 5, 10, 15, 20, God gave him peace to pick up his baseball bat again. I knew a guy who had to put his guitar away because for so many years, he was a guitar player for the world. When he got saved, he could not justify in his heart, in his conscience, using that which Satan used to glorify and honor God with. He just couldn't. The same might be true of us in some particular. Verse 8. But meat commendeth us not to God. In other words, meat isn't the issue. For neither if we eat are we the better, eat meat offered to idols, neither if we eat not are we the worse. It's not the meat that's the issue. It's our conscience. It's our liberty in Christ. Therefore, every Christian has their own liberty in Christ depending upon where you are in your walk with God. Does any of this make sense? Okay, we're getting this, right? So as we mature, as we grow from a babe in Christ to a toddler, to school age, to a teenager in Christ, our affections change, our liberty in Christ changes, our conscience changes, we get more instructed, we know more, we learn more, the Holy Spirit shows us more. Verse 9, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Oh my goodness, that sounds like Romans 14. It should. It's the same exact verse. That's what I want to talk about. Are we going to allow our maturity in Christ, our knowledge, our experience in the church, our service for God, the things that God has blessed us with for all the years that we walked with God, in a moment of time, we can fall and cause some other believer to stumble? Why? I don't see anything wrong with that. Well, somebody else does. Well, I didn't know that. Okay. But if you find out that you caused that brother or sister to stumble in Christ, then it is your responsibility to humble yourself and go to that individual and try to get things right. Because if you don't know, then you don't know. But if you find out that you caused them to stumble, or if the Holy Spirit says to you, because every night you go to sleep, before you go to sleep, and you say, Lord, is there something I said, I did, that caused somebody to stumble? God will answer that prayer. Verse 10. For if any man see thee, which hast knowledge, meaning you're a mature Christian, you've been around the block, if any man see thee which hath knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, so there you are, 40 years in the Lord, you're sitting at the bar at Applebee's, and you have a goblet, it's ginger ale, but nobody really knows it's ginger ale, because it's the same color as beer, right? It's the same color. Well, why are they judging me? Well, you're sitting at the bar, idiot. You have a clear glass that looks like a beer glass. And you have something in your thing that looks like beer, dummy. Do you see what I'm saying? And I'm just using something off the top of my head here, but if any man see thee which hath knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be offended? He's going to stumble. He's going to be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols because he sees you do it. Therefore, this young person in the Lord sees nothing wrong with it. But they don't understand. They haven't been taught by God or taught by the scriptures or discipled to know that you have liberty in Christ to be okay with this. But they're only okay with it because they see you do it. In other words, you're setting a bad example. But I have liberty in Christ. I don't care about that. I can do what I want, right? I can gamble. I can do this. I can do that. Verse 11. And through thy knowledge, your experience, shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? That doesn't mean they're going to die because they eat meat offered to an idol. What that means is that their spiritual walk is going to be negatively impacted. Their conscience is going to be impacted. It's going to be seared in a way. Well, I can do that if I want to. But when, verse 12, but when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, oh, please don't read the rest. Don't read it. If you don't read it, you know it's not there. If you wound a weak brethren and you sin against their conscience, you sin against Christ. But Pastor, you don't understand. No, I know. But what does the Bible say? What saith the Lord? I'll tell you what it says. Verse 13. Wherefore? In other words, in conclusion, if meat offered to idols make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Where did he get that from? Romans 14. So where should we go with this? Should we stay on the food kick? Should we go to music? Should we go to dress? Should we go to the nursery? Should we go to all of these things in the Christian life, in the Christian church, that causes people to stumble, where everybody has a preference? You see, God is asking us at some point to have a biblical conviction. If you have a biblical conviction about a biblical principle, know it, understand it, defend it, live it. Paul said, I will not eat meat if it causes my brother to offend. This might sound weird. I was at a staff meeting. The pastor of the church came in with shorts. Summertime. I was offended. Does that make sense? I'm just saying. Did he have liberty to wear shorts? Yeah. But he was the pastor of a mega church. It's a leadership meeting. You want to try to set an example for those that you're ministering to. This is a professional meeting. This is not like we're going out for lunch. I'm just saying. So therefore, the deacons have never seen me in shorts. Why is that? Because it made an impact on me. I can wear shorts whenever I want to. But no, I really can't. I could drive whatever vehicle I want to. Yes, that's true. I have the liberty to do that. But you know what they say about preachers driving Cadillacs, right? See, you're all laughing because you all know where I'm going with this. There's an impression, there's a perception. Wow, I can do what I want. I can buy whatever car I want to. That's right, you can. But you might cause somebody to stumble because of your liberty. And if you're not conscious of that, then you're not being sensitive to the Lord. You're not paying attention to your place in your home, in your neighborhood, in your church. You have liberty, yes, but should you, is the question. Should you? Oh, of course I should. Grow up! I mean, really. Grow up. Who's the one who should grow up? We should grow up. It's just like telling a three-year-old. What, don't you get it? Don't smoke. Remember those commercials back in the day? Do what I say, not what I do. You remember those commercials? Don't smoke, and the parent has got the cigarette behind their back. They're just a lying hypocrite. And that's what. The bottom line is simply, don't be a hypocrite. And be sensitive, because everybody's at a different walk. And like I said this morning, one drink for you might not have sent you to the Bowery, but one drink for somebody else might have made them an alcoholic. One double-stuffed Oreo for you might have made you an addict, but not somebody else, because they're not into sugar. They might be into something else, food-wise. You get the idea. I don't want to belabor the point. But in our liberty in Christ, there's got to be a balance, because there's always a right side and a left side to this liberty in Christ, where, again, depending upon your Bible, depending upon your denomination, your liberty in Christ turns in more and more into Pharisaism and legalism and the standards and following the law, and everybody's going to judge you. Then there's the other side of legalism, which is license, where there's so much grace and love that there's no standards, because we can, because we have liberty in Christ, and we just throw it all to the wind, and we wonder why there's so many problems in the church. We want to be approved by God, which we can be, if we don't go to bed with sin on our heart. And we can be pleasing to God if we're sensitive to the needs of the brethren. Amen. That ham and Swiss offends me. Here, you eat it. Yeah, I don't know. But we all have some experiences, and we've all seen some things in the church that we thought, that seems a little bit not kosher. They probably shouldn't have said that. They probably shouldn't have done that. And that's true. They probably shouldn't have. Because it's going to cause somebody to stumble. And if you saw it, and if you realize that that wasn't probably right, then you're the person who's probably stumbling over what they did. And hopefully we learn in that moment, by the example of somebody else, to say, I'm going to try to be sensitive. In church, out of church. In a restaurant, out of a restaurant. Family reunion, no family reunion. Family wedding, no family wedding. Family funeral, no family funeral, etc. Because there are times and places that we can fall. Lord, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for these hard things. There might be a moment when we think that we understand something. We think we've got it. And then, Lord, you give us a set of circumstances to test whether we truly understand that principle. Only to find out, like the disciples, that we still have room to grow. Lord, perhaps there's something on our hearts. Perhaps the Holy Spirit has revealed something in our lives that is a stumbling block to others. Maybe a brother and sister in Christ has shared that with us, or maybe the Holy Spirit or the Word of God has pricked our heart in that particular area. Lord, help us to come before you. Help us to use our liberty in Christ to honor and glorify you, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to minister charity one to another, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thank you for being with us. Please drive home safely. And as far as I can tell, the temperature is not going to get above 60 all week. So therefore, your 85 degree days are over. Freeze wasn't on my phone, but we live in Western New York. So freeze is possible. I don't want to say anytime.